for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Show. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit more about tourism laws. In fact, it's about Uber and Lyft. Once again, independent contractor laws, really Prop 22. Do we all remember that? We've talked about it a lot on the show with Ward Heinrichs. He is an employment attorney based in San Diego. In fact, go to his website, bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. He's got a great blog on there and also articles about this and many other employment laws if you go to blendradioandtv.com. But he's back here on the show. So Ward, how's it going over in San Diego?
It's going really well. The weather's been pretty nice. Now it's humid, weirdly humid and hot all of a sudden. I have no complaints. Why would I complain? I live here in San Diego.
Hey,
we're in Florida and it's humid.
It's actually pretty cool. We're right on a canal and we saw dolphins this morning at my feet.
That's cool.
Oh, those are cool. My mom lives in Del Rey. And so, and she used to live along the intercoastal.
Yeah. And
so you know the intercoastal waterway there, and it goes almost all the way up and down the whole state. It's long, and we used to see manatees and dolphins.
Yeah,
also.
Cool.
It's neat.
Oh, cool! You've seen manatees. We've seen one. We saw one in near Titusville and Merritt Island the other day, but we want to see it like up. We want to see them up close. But that's something you don't get in San Diego. But you get whales. That's a big deal.
But we get whales, not manatees.
That's cool. It's beautiful. San Diego is beautiful, but okay. So Prop 22, I think we're back to the ABC law over here in Florida. If you say ABC, it's a liquor store.
That's right.
Or if you're in Pennsylvania or North Carolina, can you tell where we've been?
But
anyway, it's interesting, but let's go back and refresh us on what Prop 22 is.
I'll go back even further. Prop 22 affects AB 5, which was the statute that created the ABC law, which now governs in California who is an independent contractor and who is an employee. Mm. And this all actually started with the Supreme Court in Dynamics. Mm. So Dynamics said, hey, certain groups of laws, now we're going to apply this new test called the ABC test. Then the legislature got on their high horse the next year and said, all right, we're going to make it apply to more laws. And I predicted that. I said, look, it doesn't make much sense that we apply this little patch of laws. I think the legislature will make it apply to everything. So that's what happened. That was AB 5. Now, Prop 22 exempts the ride share, I'm just going to generalize it because there are some more specifics to it, but exempts basically ride share companies and delivery companies from the ABC test. The ABC test makes it easier to qualify workers as employees. So they go, wait, our whole model is based on independent contractors and we don't want that to change. Right. So they got 22 on the ballot last fall. And it passed. So there is an exemption now for those ride share companies and their workers who will probably still be considered independent contractors.
And a lot of the workers actually wanted that because that's their side gig a lot of times, or they don't want it to be an employee thing. And then there's the people who want it to be an employee so they can get benefits, right?
Yeah, there was a tug of war on that, but it was surprising. The number, at least in the advertisements and some of the stuff I write, I went into it deeper than most people would. It's my job. But the stuff I read and the stuff I saw on TV, there was a real tug of war between the workers who were in both camps. There were workers who said, boy, I really want to be an employee. And there were workers who said, no, I don't want. I want more freedom. And I know that if we become employees, they're going to really clamp down on the freedom. So it was... And the way it looked is that maybe more wanted the freedom than sections of the employee, but I don't know for sure. I don't remember seeing a poll on those numbers, but there was two different camps of workers, definitely.
But now, does it have something with the number of hours you work? Like, isn't there, if you work like 16 or more hours, you are now an employee, something like that, that falls into place? No?
Nope.
Wow.
No. Scratch you out, Nancy.
Because that's part of the people who want more employees in California and who want to have gig workers as employees or be employees say, hey, look, that's part of the problem. If they work more than 8 hours a day, they're not getting overtime. In fact, they're not getting meal periods. In fact, they're not getting workers' comp. They don't get unemployment. So there's all those things that an independent all those protections that an independent contractor doesn't get. And it's not based on how many hours they work in a day, but either they are an employee or they're not. And if they are an employee, they get that the overtime. So at 16 hours, they would be getting double time at that time.
Yeah. But now, like musicians, gig employees, like musicians, and they play at the same venue every like three nights a week, and they've been doing it for 10 years. Are they employees or not?
Well, all right. So originally, when AB5 came out, that was a big question.
Yeah.
And many practitioners are saying, we think that those types of musicians are going to have to be employees. And that really made the industry change. And a lot of these guys and gals who were musicians and would come in as independent contractors, do a little gig here, a little gig there, you know, whatever it was, were saying, I can't get work anymore. This has really clamped things down. And so last year, about this time, it was the fall of last year, the legislature passed a new law that modified AB5 so that there are more exemptions. So musicians got an exemption. Now they have to qualify for it. And honestly, I don't remember all the specifics of it because that law is pretty large and there's a lot of stuff. But if they qualify for the exemption, they get it. And before they were thinking they're not going to get it. And that was true with umpires, for instance, and many other types of workers got more exemptions because of the law that modified, the law that was passed by the legislature and modified AB5. Now, the difference between Prop 22 is it wasn't a law passed by the legislature. It was a proposition, Prop 22, that qualified for the last ballot and was voted on by the people.
So this is not okay, because I remember at one point you were saying that Uber and I don't know if Uber and Lyft went together and DoorDash got together and said, no, we're like, screw you. We're really standing up for this. And it was something, because it wasn't just California. This was kind of a national thing as well. But was this part of why it went to a ballot because they stood up, or did they do an actual lawsuit at the end? I'm trying to this is one of those things that has a cycle that just keeps coming around. It's like a
it's never ending in so many different ways. But Uber and Lyft and those types of companies said, hey, look, we really think we should qualify for an exemption. And they lobbied hard for an exemption in the original law. And they kept lobbying on the next law that modified everything. But the legislature said, no, we're not going to grant it to you. So while they were lobbying on the new exemption law, they also got enough signatures to qualify Prop 22 for the ballot. So they weren't taking any chances. Yeah. So they were doing both. They were lobbying and qualifying this proposition. And they spent more money than any other proposition has ever had spent on it in California.
Wow.
Yeah, $200 million, I think, is the price tag they put on it.
Wow.
Huge. And they outspent the opposition 10-1. So they were really pushing hard for that proposition.
Yeah. And so now it went into place. And then now what's happened? I know you like to fish. Don't you have to start wheeling it, it back in?
Yeah. Well, okay. So concerned citizens, what I heard was that there's a union that really decided to attack Prop 22. And they sued the state of California for what Prop 22 did. And they said, hey, look, we think it's really unconstitutional, and here's why. And a judge bought at least some of their arguments. And the main one was the we're talking about California Constitution, not the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah. Okay.
California Constitution gives the sole power to control compensation for workplace injuries to the legislature. And I'm simplifying this argument just a bit because it's technical, but because the legislature has that power only, and because the prop only amended AB 5, which is a statute, you know, a statute that was passed, it's not part of the Constitution, then that violates the Constitution, you know, the legislature's right under the Constitution to give compensation for workplace injuries. And therefore, it's unconstitutional. Now, actually, there was another basis for unconstitutionality, and that had to do with workers' rights in the California Constitution to assemble and basically unionize. And there was there's a limitation on that, too. But the difference between those two constitutional attacks is, one, the first one about workers' compensation will do away with Prop 22 completely. The second one apparently would only do away with the part of Prop 22 that doesn't allow compensation. So that's the whole story. And I've even watered it down just a tad just to make it more palatable. There are more technicalities to it, but that's the basis for the main one is it's the legislature's authority to give compensation for workplace injuries. And we'll see where it goes.
Is this because someone got hurt, or they just decided to go after this?
No, I think, all right, standing is an issue that I really don't know about in this case. Mm. And I think that's part of what you're asking. I mean, do you have to get hurt in order to say, hey, look, this law is unconstitutional? I don't think so. I don't think that's what happened, but I'm not positive. It may have. But I know it was union backed. All right, the constitutional law, I'm just no expert in on, especially the procedure. I mean, procedure constitutional law, I'm not positive on. So did they have to have an injured worker? There's definitely on that lawsuit, there's a number of individuals' names. Maybe so.
So it's like almost going and getting their witness of this is what's happened. So this makes us constitutional and the other side is unconstitutional. And we just want to say unconstitutional because it sounds almost British.
Yeah, it does,
it's
doesn't it?
It's bloody unconstitutional. Well, I think,
does it have anything to do with monetary pay to people who got injured? Like, does it up the ante a bit here for injury payouts?
Well, yes, it does because...
I thought so.
Well, it does.
Ding, ding, ding.
This is all really about money because Uber, Lyft, and those companies are saying, if we have to make everyone an employee, that's going to drive our costs drastically up. Yeah. Things are going to change. We might go out of business, and I would doubt that would happen, but they might. Or things are going to change drastically because now all of a sudden we have all these costs that we don't think we deserve. I mean, they really believe, hey, we don't deserve these kinds of costs.
And then
passengers
are going to pay more.
Well, there certainly are workers who are who truly are independent contractors. I am, for instance. Mm-hmm. So I don't get any of those protections, but no one feels sorry for me.
You're a lawyer. They make jokes about lawyers.
Right. They make jokes about us. But,
and publishers and podcasters.
But bottom line is some people, of course, it's okay for people to be independent contractors. You don't want to get rid of that type of worker.
No, you don't.
God, no.
Question is it right or wrong in this case? And they're saying, hey, look, we're just app-based. We're just trying to provide a service. And we're not really a transportation company. What we really are is an app company.
You're an app. Yeah. Because don't the drivers get to dictate, like, no, I want more money for this ride, you know, because it seems competitive. Like one town, people can go from their home to the airport. It's like a 10-minute drive and maybe it'll cost them $40, $50. You go to say Asheville, North Carolina, because I know it's true, it'll cost you $80 to $100. So it kind of changes price wise depending where you are. Now, is that the Uber driver? Because we've never had to use an Uber driver because we drive everywhere. But it's just the way our life runs. But do people get to, like, do they bid on, like, oh, somebody wants a job, who's the first one on the app? Like, you know what I mean? Isn't there a little bit of, you can say, oh, I'll give you a discount, and not if you're an independent contractor?
Well, that, all right. So that's that's how the app works. And that has changed over time somewhat, and they've adjusted it. Uber and Lyft have adjusted that to try to qualify for exemptions and make their arguments in court a little bit better. And maybe to treat their workers better too. I mean, I don't want to make Uber and Lyft evil. I don't know if they're, evil. I don't think they are, but they have said at first Uber and Lyft were the only ones that controlled the price. And it was based on several factors. One was, well, how many drivers are out there that can actually give a ride? So if there's only one driver in town, that ride's going to be more expensive. He's going to be in great demand. Mm-hmm. But when the demand's low, the price goes down. So, and that's also like, when all the bars close downtown, there's a big demand. Well, it's going to cost more to get home.
Yeah.
So that app adjusted for that kind of thing. But then they did institute.
The 1 a.m. drive is good. You want that shift.
2 a.m. in California, but 1 a.m. In Pennsylvania, where the blue laws are. I don't even know what time they close them up there in Pennsylvania. I haven't lived in Pennsylvania for so long. But anyway, that's an aside.
That's funny.
But then they did institute in the app the ability for the driver to override that to some degree. So they were able to make it a little more expensive if they thought they could. I know they made that adjustment. I haven't used Uber much lately.
Yeah, I mean, I think
last year I did more, and I know that there was that adjustment that happened. I don't know if it's still there or not. I just can't tell you the latest.
Well, I was wondering what was going on during COVID when the vaccines rolled out at certain areas that we went to. And I don't know if it was national, but I know that some areas that we were in, they were doing big campaigns that Uber will take you to get your vaccination for free. And I'm going, okay, so is Uber paying the independent contractors? How is that happening?
But how would that work? Wouldn't that make them employees?
Well,
or not?
I don't know the answer to that question. I can give you my best guess. I would assume that Uber's doing that for goodwill and that they're paying their drivers to do it. But
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a tax write-off for their PR. It's a tax write-off.
It's a good PR move.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Don't
and
get
it's
me
nice.
Wrong.
So it's that's nice. Why I don't want to call them evil.
They do nice things. Can we talk about Amazon now?
that's evil.
People have been wanting us to do shows on the Amazon thing, and I'm real close to it. And then I go, we have to call Ward first. Are we going to get in trouble?
I could talk about Amazon, but not legally. I really don't.
I know. We're not doing the employee. Well, they've been trying to unionize, and then Alabama, they messed up on that.
Did they really? Yeah, because I remember
Alabama
one.
I remember they were getting together, and I was listening to this whole thing, and who started it and why. And I'm like, dude, Ward, you got to go to Alabama. And then they're going to unionize, and then half of them chickened out right before. And I'm like,
this is what happens when the fox gets in the chicken coop. And we wake up way too late, always. The fox has been in the chicken coop from day one. He just stealth. And now
and we
he's
know.
Like, now
we
I can
know,
do whatever
we just
I
played
want.
With chickens.
Yeah, we know. The fox is in the chicken coop, it's been there for 20 years.
And he will and eat now, the rooster.
That, well, every rooster, and then the hens, and whatever comes next. Mm. Now, the fox has been there for 20-something years.
Yeah. But we got to be careful what we say so we don't have to call Ward and go, Ward, help.
Well, I'll try to help any way I can.
I know. It's just, but it is a very interesting thing that's going on because everything is shifting. And what I'm interested in is COVID has changed how people are working as independent contractors. That influx is huge. A lot of people are saying, I'm not going back to work. I'm not working for you. You know, you weren't that nice to me and I deserve better. So there's a lot of change going on. And I think
in the employers
have to start thinking about how they paid and treated their employees. And I wonder if they're going to start turning more to the independent contractor market. I mean, are you seeing any of that in San Diego, or is it such a tourism town?
You got AB5 applies to a lot of businesses. So you got to be careful about, you know, trying to declare someone an independent contractor who yesterday was an employee. I mean, watch out. Yeah. I'm going to recommend that all employers that are listening to this, don't do that. If you feel like you need to do that in California, give me a call. Let's talk about that. If you are changing an employee to an independent contractor, especially after AB5, be careful.
That
can really backfire.
Interestingly
enough, you did hit on something that the workforce has been reduced. Yeah. There's still more unemployment, and the wages in some industries have gone up. I mean, clearly, I think it was Walmart was saying they're going to pay a $2 above minimum wage the other day.
Okay,
it was like they had made a promise that they're going to pay, you know, they're going to increase pay, period. Mm. So, and a lot of the local businesses, especially restaurants, have learned that it's really hard to get people working in those restaurants again. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them have increased pay.
So, this is like a whole new thing in a way. You know, here we had all the minimum wage.
Where are they going to work? Because the benefits are stopped now.
Well, all right. So that's a whole nother aspect of it. Yes, I think one reason why you saw that was there were many people who were still in unemployment and were able to prolong it and get those extra benefits. Now mm-hmm. the extra benefits, real soon, I think it might be the 15th of September when they end in in California.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ends, I think more people are going to have to go back to work. Now, was that the only thing that was driving this? I don't think so. I think there are people who had more flexibility or just deciding, hey, it's just not worth it. So I'm just not going to go back. You know, childcare is expensive. I'm going to take care of my kid instead, stuff like that. So I think that happened too.
Mm-hmm.
My gut instinct is that maybe the extra unemployment was the main driver in it, but I don't know for sure.
I wonder if some people are able to have, I'm surviving. I've managed to sock this away and I'm going to open my own business. I see a lot of that turning around because some people just did it out of pure necessity. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going to have to do something. So I think like Uber and Lyft and DoorDash, you're going to see
a ton.
Those companies are important right now for people just even have that side gig or, you know, the gig worker. I don't think that's going away. I think it's going to increase. And I wonder about companies like Amazon and places like that, if they're going to have to shift how they do things. I don't know. We'll see feel like everything's fluctuating so much. And now to have Prop 22 back up, you know, like the penny circling around, it's like keep putting your head in the toilet and flushing until something works, you know?
Well, the best way to rinse your hair.
Well, certainly AB5 is here to stay, and the new exemptions and the broadened exemptions that passed last year are here to stay. And I'm going to guess that the legislature will tinker with that law a little bit more, maybe even give a few more exemptions. But one, I'm pretty sure the legislature will not give them to Uber and Lyft and all those other big rideshare companies. They really want, I think it comes down to money again. I think the government wants more money, so they get it. The workers do get more compensation, but the government gets, you know, to hold on to the EDD money that you normally get on each paycheck. So I don't think you're going to see them cooperate with them that way. So Prop 22 really for Uber and Lyft is probably the only way they're going to keep people as independent contractors. And even then, it's not guaranteed because even though you may not, even though AB5, the ABC test may not apply, the old test still applies. And they're, you know, they were fighting that on the old test. And it was easier to have some success for them. But there were cases that were saying, even under the old test, we think that you still, that your driver should be employees. So even under the old test, there were courts that had said that. You know, whether it lasts because they all go on hard to say, but they still come out.
So it's going to go around. And so this is going to be something every time you come on, we're going to go, okay, Ward, at the end of the show, where's Prop 22?
Yeah, it may take 5-10 years to flush all this thing out.
Wow. So, okay. So we talk about job changes. Of course, whenever you come on the show, we end up going into 20 directions because that's why we're the blend. But I do want to touch on COVID laws because as we're traveling, things have changed. In fact, we did an interview with you, and right after your interview, everything changed in California. We couldn't even put it in the magazine. I was like, dude,
I know.
What the hell was that? So it's changing, but it has to do with your you've got Newsom. I mean, you've got, look at what's going on in Texas and Florida, and everyone's got like it. And you talk about money going back into the government spending because of national disasters. I mean, even on the federal level, money is being spent by governments. So I think you're right. I think governments and all the way down to our local municipalities are going to start going, we need to bring some money back in. So I think things are going to change there. But COVID, I feel like putting even in our magazines as we publish them, a full page ad saying, we're giving you all the information, but it could change by the time we push publish. Check everything. Check websites, make phone calls. If you're going to a restaurant, call. Their hours may change because they need to, because of staffing, or now suddenly everyone needs to wear a mask. I was in a Subway sandwich shop in the middle of a swamp, like a swamp area. I can't remember, Georgia or North Carolina or somewhere. And I went in because it was open. We were hungry. And the girls were all sitting there talking about how, well, you know, in LA, you can't get into a restaurant unless you prove that you've had a vaccine. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty strong. So is that true about LA? Like, you have to be proof? I mean, I've got our
Yeah, that's not quite true.
See how gossip flies?
So I may have to back up a little bit here because all this has been all the regulations in California on COVID have been driven by the recall election. So people were tired. There were certain groups of people that really got tired of the state restrictions and how Governor Gavin Newsom was enforcing them. And so they said, hey, look, and I got to say, there were restrictions on San Diego that I just didn't think were fair. I got to tell you that where our numbers were pretty darn good and we had to shut down because our neighboring counties had way poorer numbers. And so that just didn't seem fair. And so I think a lot of people go, you know, this really isn't always fair. And it's really restrictive. I can't do what I want to do. My business, you know, can have 25% capacity and I can't make the money I used to. So there's a lot of didn't like it. And so they qualified a special recall election for September 14th. It's going to happen.
And he got caught having dinner, right? Didn't he have dinner without a mask or something?
Oh, well, there's all sorts of things.
Was that part of it? Okay.
Yeah,
his
kids go to private school and they were never shut down. They didn't have to do long distance learning. He did go to a restaurant that should have been shut down. But he was there with donors and things, and they were drinking wine and with no mask.
If you have no mask and you have wine, things are going to happen.
Yeah. and you can eat. I mean, you always could eat without a mask. So, you know, so maybe I'm being too tough on him. But I have to say, again, that's another bad optic. I mean, he is out with people who have donated to his campaigns and he's partying and he's told everyone else not to do that. I mean, it was too many people, basically. That's what it was all about. That was early on. So, you know, there's all that stuff that's just not good optics. And so we've got this recall. And so if more than 50% of the people who vote for the recall, say yes for the recall, then he's gone.
Wow.
And then the second question on that ballot is, well, who do you want to pick? And so the person who gets the most votes is our next governor. And they could get way less than 50%.
Wow.
It just, whoever gets the most votes. So there are like 40, 45 people on the ballot. So if they're all pretty evenly divided, it would be like 2%. You could win with 2% of the vote. It's possible.
Oh my gosh. That's
oh my
crazy.
Gosh, do you remember the presidential elections where there was that one porn star on there? She went in there. Remember that? I want to be the president. And then you had all these movie stars and musicians. And, you know, it's like I remember when I think it was Toots Madel wanted to be the president of Haiti. And I'm like, dude, now he's passed on. And I love Toots, but one of the best musicians. But anyway, what's the 40 plus? Do they have any experience?
Some of them are legislators. At least one guy is Kylie is his last name. I think it's Kevin Kylie. And he's a legislator. So he has experience.
Okay.
The front runner though is Larry Elder, and he doesn't have political experience that I know of that he's touted at all. So I don't think he has any political experience.
He's
a talk radio host.
Yeah. So he watches the news, and I heard part of it. So
we could be president, Lisa.
We're not Californians anymore, but we were born there, but and live there. But it's interesting about Newsom because he was very, you know, conservative about, you know, wear a mask, do this, do that. And from what I've heard about the other dude, the forerunner, the talk show dude, is he's like, let it all hang out. You know, it's kind of like Abbott in a way. And Abbott in Texas got to a point where he's dictating, you know, to me as an individual business, you should have the right to say, I expect everyone to wear a mask or don't worry.
Absolutely.
Or do what you feel. But Abbott's like, I demand that the businesses say you do not have to wear a mask. I think that is, as a business person, like now we're losing our independence with all of these things. And no matter which way you're looking at it, no matter what political side, independent business, independent contractor, the word independent is something that's very important. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to make people sick, obviously, and things like you're saying San Diego was doing good. But you know what I mean? So it's kind of an interesting thing what could happen because
it is. And I think I feel the same way that you do on this is I don't think there should be much of a mandate either way. I mean, maybe there's a set of circumstances where there should be a mandate. I'm not going to. But at least businesses are allowed to handle it in San Diego are you don't have to wear a mask unless the business says you do. And so it's
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I don't have a problem with that. Now, Costco doesn't make me wear a mask, so I don't. But if they did, I would. You know, that's just that simple. That's what you require of your patrons, and so I'll go along with it. So, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Now, L.A., though, the original question was, how restrictive is L.A.? And they do require masks on all indoor, anything that's indoor, basically.
You know why? Because all the movie stars are able to run around free now. All the movie stars don't have to have everybody recognize them anymore. So they have some freedom that they've never had.
No.
Maybe that's it.
No.
I'm not going to buy that, maybe you're right. I don't know.
No. They love to be recognized.
But they don't require shots. You don't have to have the vaccination to go into a place of business.
Okay. So the girls in Subway in North Carolina were...
They overdid it.
Yeah, they probably read something on social media and, you know, who do you fact check with? Ward, we call you.
But you know, at the end of the day, the idea behind all this shouldn't be political. It's about stopping
a
killer virus.
And maintaining business.
Worldwide. It should have nothing to do with politics at all. It should be common sense in your brain. I don't want it, so I'll go get a vaccine.
That's my thinking, and I have the vaccine. I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, me too.
No, I have pretty close friends who are not.
That's too.
My position is, look, I'm going to respect your individuality, and I'm going to respect your right to make a choice on this. It is your health, after all. Now, you do affect other people. I might tell them that, you know, it's possible you might affect someone else, but I'm not going to intervene. So I try to respect people that way.
Yeah, because it is a scary thing. I mean, even when I got the vaccination.
But I won't be inviting you to dinner.
Exactly. Or wear a mask.
Well, except I have the vaccination, so I probably won't get it anyway. So maybe I will invite you to dinner.
But
I might give it to you.
Joe Rogan got it. And he got over it so fast. Everybody goes like, hyper. Take him off of Spotify. Like, why? Because he's a free thinker. Listen, you've got it, and he's right about making sure your immunity is good. Go out in the sunshine.
I think it's a publicity stunt.
Oh, he doesn't have one. But anyway, this
could be.
I'm back to no, but it.
I'm not going to challenge it.
Not going to say any more about that.
We are back with the Delta, and you can, if you have a vaccination, your chances of dying are less, but it's still there. People have died and been vaccinated. So it's a real deal. And that depends on in each person's body. So it's a very individual choice of where you are and whatever. And I respect that too, but I am going to stay away from people who are not, because I really don't want it. And it was scary. My age group for the Johnson & Johnson, there was like those, so many women that, you know, had blood clots and some, a couple died. And I'm like, dude, what's the odds? Like, I know it's like, you know, the rare thing, but I could be one of the rare people that keel over 2 weeks later. I don't want to die. I got things to do.
Well, a lot of that has to do with how you look at and weigh risk. Mm-hmm. I really, honestly, I've told a bunch of people this. I said, well, you know, that 50 people a year, it used to be 50, I think it's about, get bitten by sharks every year. Or bitten surfers. And killed by sharks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I'm guessing on this one. I think, you know, there's got to be several thousand that are struck by lightning, you know, throughout the world.
We're talking about that's Earth.
And
sucks.
I say, well, all right. So it's riskier to get struck by lightning. I mean, you're more likely to get struck by lightning, but it's still not very risky. I mean, it's probably not going to happen. And so that's how I talk to people who are not vaccinated. Say,
don't get
you're just
car.
Taking a larger risk. I don't think it's a huge risk that you're going to die. I don't think it is. It's not a huge risk you're going to die. You have a greater risk to. Like,
exactly.
Maybe I'll get bit by a shark, but I'm not going to get struck by lightning.
You know? I know somebody by lightning because she checked her mailbox, which was metal, in a storm with lightning, and she walked out with an umbrella. In plain open storm and touched a metal box, and she got zapped, and her hair really did get curlier.
Yeah.
It does happen.
And that's the great thing about lightning. It doesn't always kill you.
But it does make you friendlier.
I need a boost. I need a curly boost. But so I know this is airing. And by the way, we're recording this on September 9th. Happy birthday, California. Founded the 31st state founded in 1850, or not founded, but admitted 40. As the 35th.
49, right? 49ers?
No, those are the people that came before. They helped settle. Oh, those were the guys that came over through the Death Valley. Now they came through Death Valley. And that's how like places like Columbia State Park is one of the most perfect places to go up in the Gold Country to experience September Day. Anyway, or California Day. Today is California Day. Not other states that have, like North Dakota. Don't get mad at me because it may not be, but they have state days that are not on their U.S. state admission days. Why are you doing that?
Anyway. Because Monday through Friday, it's got to be on a weekend, that kind of thing.
Anyway, so nobody California's birthday is today. And the next time we chat with you, there's going to be a new dude in town or the old dude in town. And the whole COVID thing could change up all over again.
Yeah,
or not.
Well, it'd be interesting. If Gavin Newsom wins, it'll be interesting to see if he goes back to being more restrictive, because cases have gone up.
The Delta variant
has increased it. Now, oddly enough, just recently, the Delta variant cases actually went down in San Diego. They were up to about 1,000 a day, and now they're like 500 a day.
You know why? You guys
so
have
maybe
beer.
It's going to play itself out, and it won't have to be restrictive. And I hope
you have beer. You have beer, and you have Oktoberfest all throughout coming up. And everyone, we have the list of Oktoberfest up on blendradioandtv.com. Check it out. If you're going to do Oktoberfest, go to San Diego and La Mesa, I think, and Encinitas. Those are the two my favorite ones to go to. Mm. El Cajon. We did El Cajon, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I just did remember something. The girls in North Carolina said you need a shot. There's certain venues where you either need to have to prove that you've had a shot or you've had a negative COVID test. So there are certain situations where that is required.
I think that's going to happen.
Do you think required?
2 to 3 months down the road here, that's going to happen, that it's going to be like you have to show, like you would have to show going into another country, you have to show a passport. I think that's going to happen here. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
What about going to apply for a job?
Well,
you have to prove that you have a vaccination.
I think you probably would have to, because who wants to work next to somebody who might have COVID?
Well, so far, employers in California have not required vaccinations.
I bet they're going to.
I'm trying to think. There might be one that is going too soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But yeah. So far, at least as what from what I remember reading, that there isn't one that requires the vaccination yet. Now, that's different than healthcare workers. The governor said all healthcare workers must have a vaccination by, I think it's September 30th.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be in the health field and be at risk.
Well, there is a percentage of nurses who aren't vaccinated. There are a percentage. I was reading something about that too.
I just got a call from one. It's probably been 2 weeks now, but was saying, hey, can I keep my job? I said, well, pretty soon, no, if you get vaccinated.
Well, yeah. So this is going to be interesting, because it could be like, oh, that's.
Religious implications.
There could be all kinds of
small factions.
This is going to be interesting about that, because that's like saying, you know, have you had this before? You know what I mean? That's a little personal, maybe.
No, there are potential exemptions, disability exemptions and religious exemptions.
Yeah. Okay.
Ones that are commonly talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, that won't, unless everyone starts lying about it, it's not a huge percentage of the population that would qualify.
Okay. Well, cool, Ward. Always a good conversation. Did we cover a lot of ground? I think we did.
I think we did.
Hey, listen, we all got to see. Yeah, everyone, there's so much change. Again, always check websites, call phone numbers before you go. And of course, this is most important. Keep up with Ward. His website is bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. He's on Twitter at Ward Heinrichs. He's on Facebook and occasionally on Instagram. In fact, you've got a good Oktoberfest photo on Instagram. So you're right in the spirit of things.
Yeah,
also, there you go.
Also, keep up with Ward on blendradioandtv.com. Also, our nationalparktraveling.com website, where he talks about tourism just like today. This covers tourism, obviously, and all kinds of jobs and businesses. So thanks again, Ward. Always fun.
My pleasure. Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you after the election.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.